Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down. I'm your host, as always, Jimmy Skinner. With me tonight, not Dan Perry, my man, the OG, Brian Schiller. I swear I must have flipped something. I always thought that. Nope. Okay.
Nope. Nope.
For anybody on the listening side, I'm trying to figure out how to point the right direction in camera, which is a nightmare. But what's up, Brian? How you doing, buddy?
Not much, man. Just on the grind, getting ready to head down to ICAST. So trying to get that in order. Grind,
have you actually packed anything yet?
Nope.
And you're planning on leaving Friday after work, right?
Correct.
Good luck. I'll tomorrow, see you Sunday.
tomorrow, I'll have most of the stuff packed, ready to go. Oh, I got to rig a boat now tomorrow too. Yeah, I've been working on all the scheduling details, back end things to get ready to go down there. But
you got to bring another boat with you?
No. It's for the kayak shop here. I got to rig up. I think it's a Bonafide P127 with a XI3 on the front. So I got to do all the wiring and crap for that. So.
Gotcha.
You know, that's what happens. But yeah,
that's what happens when you're important.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I'll be getting stuff packed up tomorrow and Thursday night. I'll put all my stuff in the truck, go to work Friday, and then
hopefully leave on time.
Yeah, yeah. Off to Tennessee, and then down to you Saturday, and down to Florida right after that. So.
We got one heck of a trip planned. I can't wait for us to start getting that footage and stuff going. I've grabbing SD cards. I think I'm borrowing a mirrorless camera setup from a guy. Nice. I think we're gonna do a bunch of video on the trip we're doing. So everybody, stay tuned for that. For anybody that's watching us on Facebook, YouTube, or anything right now, I would like to point out, what in the hell is this lamp on your desk?
I got a new camera and. The lighting in here is horrible. It's definitely an upgrade. It's got a clearer picture, wider angle, and
the camera. Up. Yes, the light is no. For anybody that's listening to this, this is a stained glass like desk lamp.
Yeah. It was my wife's mother's, and it was like her mom. So it's like, I don't know.
It's worth whatever.
I ran downstairs and I was like, I need a light. And she was like, take that one. And I was like, yeah, okay. So that's what I got.
Ah, that's good. You'll get that professional setup again later.
Yeah.
Well, as everybody can tell from talking to him, Dan couldn't make it again this week. We miss him. We hope we get him back next week. Because I'm sure everybody's sick of hearing me and Brian talking. Because me and him just did we took over the noob show for the week while Mr. Lavery's gone. On that note, if you've listened to that show, I'm offering to give away a epic amount of stick baits, and no one has
nobody hit you up yet.
Nope. And it's my luck. It's a bunch of stuff I'm needing to move because I'm just like out of space as far as like where I can put tackle, and they're free. And there's a lot of them and a bunch of great colors and no one's hit me up. I got a bunch of new followers because I made part of the deal. You had to follow me and then message me. I got a bunch of followers, but nobody's so they want the bait. So it kind of worked and it kind of backfired. You can have them. It works out perfect because you're going to pick them up too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Save you on shipping.
That's right. Well, all right, everybody, as normal, we're doing a little bit of a tournament recap like usual, and we are covering probably one of my favorite places I've ever been up in La Crosse, Wisconsin. The All-American Kayak Series had a three-day event there, a little change of the normal pace. They had 68 people there, and we have with us tonight the grand champion and winner of the weekend, my man, Lore. What is up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Jimmy and Brian?
Making it, man. How are you doing?
W, man.
Good, good.
Well, you know, I think this is the first time we've had you on, and you told me yourself before the show you're still new to all this half of it. So go ahead and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You know, who you are, where you're from, and how you got into the kayak fishing game.
Well, I'm Lor Vu. I was born and raised here in La Crosse, Wisconsin, in God's country here.
Nice.
I got into kayak fishing just about this time last year, I want to say. If it wasn't for one of my friend Patterson Lee, he was the one that basically gave me, like, built me with confidence, you know, to compete. He was telling me all about kayak fishing and how fun it is, because I used to have a boat a couple years back, but I got rid of it. It was, nowadays with the cost of everything, it's more expensive. So I was without a watercraft for a while, and then I just got to kayaking last year. I did my first Hobie event here in La Crosse.
Nice.
I forgot what place I took, but I lost two good ones day one that cost me a lot, and then I found them day two. So you know, I've been just kind of doing tournaments as they come in. If it works with my schedule, I'll do it.
Nice.
Heck yeah. Well, that's you got to call that a really good turnaround time if this is really, like, you know, basically one full year in and you're already cashing huge checks. Like,
yeah,
it's definitely not what has happened for me. I've been in it for 4 years now, and all of the money I've won combined doesn't even touch like 10% of that. So congrats on kicking ass right out of the gate. So before we get into the tournament, there's a few things to touch on, especially since you mentioned that you fished in a Hobie.
Oh, I did do the Bassmaster event that came into La Crosse. I took fifth place for that one.
Nice.
And that's the one that qualified me for South Carolina, which I went down there and competed too.
That's a pretty good, I mean, the more you talk, the more you've done in just a year's time, man. That's crazy impressive. It really is. Because a lot of people, even, you know, most of us were prior bass fishermen, boat guys before getting into the kayak, and there's just such a, like, learning curve of can do, what you can't do anymore. And it takes some people spin out and some people just suck, this guy. And, you know, it's crazy that you've had so much success so quickly. I mean, I would say that's quick for just about anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
But so even more note, so now what I was going to ask you, you fished a Hobie, you fished a bass. Is what drove you to really fish? I mean, obviously you're local to the area, but with the trails not really coming out there this year, is that, do you think, your personal opinion, what, you know, helped lean you towards fishing with the All-American Kayak Series? And the second half of that question, is it what you think is going to help make the All-American Kayak Series probably the next big trail circuit?
I mean, I do think they're going to be the next, like, big thing out there. I guess just to be able to control my own, like, you know, water, like, kayak to go where I want to go, make my own decisions. That was like the number one reason why too. Like, I didn't like to be a co-angler on the back of a boat, you know, and that just, you just get to go wherever the boat goes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I feel you. Well,
I just wanted to add in there, man. It's great to see a La Crosse native crushing it and their name not be Jeremiah Burrish. So just a little tease there for my buddy Jeremiah, but
was up there. Cool. That was third place.
Was he third?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Nice. Nice.
He was crushing third.
I like it.
Tyler Cole was second, which Tyler is one of the, and I could be wrong, but I remember we had him on because I think he's one of the guys that helps run AKS.
Yeah. Yep. Him and Josh Booth.
Yeah. Great guys, both of them. I really think, like, after talking with them, I think that they're in the right direction. I mean, I think we were supposed to actually be up there for this event. It was the two events we were going to do with them were the two I was most excited about, and of course we didn't get to make either one of them, but it still looks like, I mean, 70 people's, I mean, that's great. I don't, everybody's so caught up with the 200 at a Hobie and, you know, breaking 100. I mean, it was, you know, 2 years ago, 70 was a giant number at some of these tournaments. So for them to just be kind of getting rolling, that's still a great turnout. And there were a bunch of locals out there. So that kind of fires up the competition to me, yeah, as far as from a competitive aspect, like, especially for you. I bet you a lot of those guys are going in like, well, this dude's from here, lives here, and has a lot of experience. It's going to be tough to beat him. So what I was going to get at with you being the local, give us a layout of lacrosse and the waters y'all fished on the Mississippi, you know, kind of tell everybody, you know, the lay of the land out there, what the waters are like, how it kind of sets up, just a little bit of the area for anybody that's not familiar with that.
Well, the way lacrosse is set up, it's obviously a river system. A lot of these fish, they deal with current. So current is a key player. And clean water too, as well. You'll get the dirty water. Over in La Crosse here, it's got a lot of different vegetation. You could go to one pool and it's got like, you know, 6, 7, 8 different types of like grass. You know, it fishes a little bit of like everything else, you could say. Like if you wanted to come here and do some cranking on the main channel, you could come here and frog, you could do some drop shotting.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Like when I came up there in 20, you know, I wasn't ready for like the possibility of a frog bite up there, and that's most of our southern guys that came up there, you know, we frog down here all the time, so that's what they were doing up there. Something I'll mention, and maybe you can talk on a little bit too, is like everywhere I was a like sandy bottom, which I had no experience with. That kind of threw me off because it changes the whole bottom contact game to crap for me, because I was just felt lost the whole time. I was like, it doesn't feel like mud. It's not grass. I can't fish this. And I went somewhere else. But yeah, it's like you said, a lot of current. The area I was in, there's like a lot of cut throughs and stuff. So tons of water, and then the tons of vegetation. Do you have, we're obviously going to get into it in the tournament. Is there like a particular type of vegetation or bottom or anything you look for in particular, just like as a whole, whether you're tournament fishing or just there having a good time?
I really like to look for eelgrass. I don't know what it is with eelgrass. Like that'll be the first thing I look for. It's gotta be like green eelgrass. If it's that kind of like dingy brown stuff, it might hold fish, but they just tend to like that more green stuff for some reason. Same thing with like coon tails, even like deer tongue. I look for those. Up here, the bass, they, from what I've kind of seen and just from experience, they don't really relate with that arrowhead for some reason. But yeah, when I go out fun fishing too, I just mainly look for cleanest grass, you know, cleanest water you could find. Nice. It could be ginger clear, but you know, it'll be a little bit tougher to get in a bite.
Right.
You have to stay far back.
So current, eelgrass, good looking water. Got it. So when I come back, I will not screw it up. Because I was so out of place. I'm sure I will. I don't know. After what happened, like everybody listens to this, familiar with John Lessman. John told me that I should be out there frogging with him. And I was just like, I just don't think that's where I need to be frogging. He stayed in the lead most of that day doing that. So next time I come up there, I'm just going to frog the whole time if it's summer. So, because I was up there this time 2 years ago, and it was just crazy. Which it was also very low when I was there, and we didn't have a lot of current. So is the water up right now, or y'all still?
It's very low right now. I think it's actually like, it's about like that 5 foot range. I think that's almost like 5 to 7. That's kind of like normal. If it's anything higher than like 7 feet, it's high water.
So yeah.
It's pretty low right now.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, boats can't get back to where they need to go. So that's when the kayaks come in handy.
That's nice. Safe. Perfect for us.
Nice.
Well, so getting into the tournament, like it covered pool 7, 8, and 9, which is kind of standard when events go up there. And that's like the three most popular pools from any research I've done. That's the if you find any good information, that's what it's referring to. Do you have experience with all three of the areas, or do you tend to stick to one pool versus the other?
I have more.
You don't have to say any detailed spots.
I know. I have more experience on pool eight, seven this year, and a little bit of like beginning of last year. I started to learn that more because it's, you know, it's got that lake part, so it's kind of like there's a lot of stuff and a lot of water. So each pool has their own time frame where they're really good and when they're not good. So you just got to go out there and look at conditions and find the grass.
Like
heck
it.
Yeah. This will be the episode I'm downloading to my computer, and I'm going to like take so much information from this. Cause I was so mad when I mean, we had a great time outside of the fishing there, which is phenomenal for everybody except me. La Crosse is a cool place. Like,
it is.
The town is awesome. The people were great. The food scenery, was fantastic.
Dude.
The scenery, like, I loved it there. The weather was nice. It was like 75 during the day and like still 50 at night. And I can get down with that. So, but, you know, back to the tournament side of it. So with you being local, you got a lot of experience here. Did you put a lot of like pre-fishing preparation into this? Did you get some days on the water before the tournament, or did you just kind of go off of, you know, your knowledge and previous trips?
I went out one day back in like June, and I got some videos on that. But that was just one day. I didn't go out on the river from like mid June till pretty much like end of July. So I basically had like 2 days before the event to figure out, and I covered a lot of water during those 2 days. The first day I actually went out, I had a feeling it was going to be low water anyways, and I had a good idea of where they're going to be. So that's where I headed there. Well, I mean, I headed to where I was pre-fishing first, and it was all like one or two fish. They basically told me what they were doing. So I stuck with that game plan, and I ran that pattern.
Nice.
So I had 2 days of pre-fishing.
Sweet. I see. Not too much. Not too little. 2 days is just right. I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of how to get into this and not get, like, give away your spots or anything. But so would you be okay with touching on like the pattern or too much? Okay. So what did you find in that pre-fishing with those just couple of bites here and there that kind of set your game plan?
Well, when I was, I only had like a few rods with me. I didn't bring like a lot of rods. I just brought the basic essential, like for me, like right now, when I think of July, it's like frog. I think of like cut bangs. So I thought about like a jig or a Texas rig, and that's just what I brought. And then I did bring a crank too as well, so I could do the crank and the top water on that. When I pre-fished, I started off with like sand and rock. I found good eelgrass, so I grabbed my Texas rig rod and I flipped in there with my special lure. It can't be like too light or too heavy, because it had to be just the perfect balance where it just sank down perfect. And as soon as it touched the water, I got a hit right away, and then I yanked the fish out. It was like an 18 and a half smallie, so I knew that fish there was there for a reason. And I knew that because, like, in the other podcast I talked to Jeff, I said that I saw what came out of its rectum. You know, it was be a freaking just crayfish, you know, because up here they feed on crayfish, and
there
was a lot of it coming out. I saw a claw coming out too, so the joke's on me, and I went out there and I wrecked them.
Nice.
That's awesome.
I wrecked them 3 days.
You gotta love being able to just find something. Even I love fishing a Texas rig. I love when that works, because it's so simple. Yet you can make it so complex. Mm-hmm. You know, with you taking your frog, you said you had a frog set up.
Yep.
Are you up there. So a lot of people think frogging. They think down in the South, Florida, Alabama, you know, Gunnersville, thick mats, big heavy gear, big frogs, walking them on the mats. What's frogging like? Even though this, you know, wasn't your ticket for this one, what's frogging like on the Mississippi River up there? Open water? Or
it could be both, actually. It could be open water or the nasty slop. When I went pre-fishing, I brought the frog rod. I was going to tie like a Spro, you know, 65 on it. But I kind of got, I just kind of got like tired and lazy. I didn't want to work the frog because I wanted to cover the water and hit a lot of like, you know, lily pads, duckweeds and stuff like that. So I tied on a top toad and I remember,
that's one my year favorite.
Yeah. For some reason, those bass, anything that bubbled, they just want to kill it, you know?
Yeah.
Right. So
I remember one year fishing and I did really good on a buzzbait and, you know, I was like, well, I have this, you know, mega bass, Jamaica boa, you know, and I wasn't going to use it around that weed stuff because I knew I would just get it untangled, like entangled throughout the day. So I didn't want to do that. So I just tied the top toad and I was just burning that through the water, burning it through the lily pads and burning it through the duckweeds and until it got blowups, you know. And that's when I kind of like figure out, oh, okay, you know, there's fish here and there's a reason why that fish is here.
Right.
And I found similar stuff to that, so I applied it, and then sure enough, it was there. The fish were
there.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. You talk about burning it too. A lot of down here, that very, very slow gurgle of the top toad is usually the ticket. I don't know if I've caught, you know, more than 10 fish burning it, which sucks because I've always wanted to get on a frog bite where you're just burning that, you know, yeah, like you said, using it to cover water because it can be very slow going with it down here. You still cover water, but not as fast if you're just running and burning. But, all right. So you had 2 days of good pre-fishing. Did you have one main area or did you have like five backup plans or?
I had a good section that I knew had fish there. And I kind of had a feeling that if I caught a few fish here and there, I left it alone, I come back to it, it'll probably reload. So yeah, that's what I did. I basically just ran like one pattern the whole day. I almost did the same thing the whole day. You know, maybe next year, you know, All American comes, it might not work again, but every year you just, so. But I basically just ran one pattern the whole time. I didn't let none of that, like seeing other kayaks, you know, like, ooh, he's getting near my stuff, like get to my head. Because like I say, if you let that get to your head, you lose already before you start.
Oh, yeah.
And I seen some other kayakers get kind of near to, you know, where I wanted to go, but I didn't let that bother me. I just stuck with my game plan, made my decision, just go with it.
Nice.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get right into the to day one. So like I said, this is a 3-day event, and they cut in 50% of the field after day two, which is, I think that's really cool. So take us into day one, just your favorite bite or the whole day, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, day one, let's see here. Day one, my favorite bite, I guess the favorite bite was in the morning where I was throwing a whopper plopper, like from first cast till probably like 8. That's about the time I was fishing and got my limit right away. I did lose like a few fish, but I don't think they would have helped me anyways. After that, the sun came up. It was pounding on the water. We did get rained on too. I don't know if that rain helped or not, but the morning bite was probably the best one for me.
Oh yeah, you gotta love a whopper plopper bite.
Yeah,
especially when you're actually landing them.
Yeah,
that, so after, I have a love hate relationship with that thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. You lose those small ones, man. They want to just hook you.
The small ones want to hurt you. The big ones, for some reason, they'll jump out of the water with the bait in the mouth, and then the next thing you know, they're gone. Somehow they did not get a hook. I don't understand it, but anyway. Well, so top water bite goes away, you know, as the day heats up. So Yeah, is that when the old Texas rig comes out?
Yeah, as soon as like the smallies started to slow down, I just went to what I originally had planned next was just to go and just kind of flip some shorelines, stuff like that had eelgrass, some deeper eelgrass. And then that's how I started to slowly upgrade. Each spot I stopped on, there was usually like one or two fish. But day one, I caught like two to three fish each spot. And that's when I like slowly started to upgrade. And then as soon as the rain came, I was still fishing in the rain, but you could see it from a distance where it was just like nothing but white.
Oh yeah.
Coming. And then I hit the shoreline just to kind of hunker down. There was another kayaker out there too. He did the same thing. So we just kind of hugged the shoreline, just hanging out. And then until it went away, I went to another spot that I caught fish off of. Went there and upgraded some more. And I left that, and then the sun slowly peeked back out. And then it was probably like mid-afternoon, and I went frogging the rest of the time to upgrade because I knew there was some fish in a particular area, but I left them alone.
Right.
Yeah.
So with the morning bite thing, was that something you kind of expected that you could count on to get a limit early, or was it bonus fish?
It was something I knew already.
Okay.
I knew I had to just get my limit right away in the morning and then just upgrade through the day.
Yeah, grinding. Was you about to say something before I cut you off, bro?
Yeah, I was just curious. Like, were you on pool 8 or pool 7?
I was on pool 8.
Okay. Right on.
It's like I went to 7 and 8, and I liked 8 way more just because it had way more of the stuff that I like, current and all those little cutbacks down to the south. Yeah. Tell me about that 19. When did you get that during the day? That was a big fish of day one.
I got that probably about like 12:20, you know, in the afternoon, literally. That fish bit in the open, actually, in some like really super shallow water. I thought it was like a dogfish at first when I put my whopper popper out there in the open. Because when I throw a frog, if I see weed off to the side here and there, I'll usually throw it in the middle first. I don't know why, but my instinct
is same thing.
Yeah, I just threw it as far as I could way back in there in the grass. As soon as I started to reel, you know, I saw the fish like turn on it and then came and just
smashed it.
Mashed it. That was the end of the story for that one. I hook set it. I knew it was a big one because just the way he fought, and you know,
that's awesome.
Got it in the net, and that's it.
Nice.
That's you can't ask for better on that. So, yeah. So again, touching back on that, it's a 3-day event. When you know you caught a bunch of fish in the morning to get your limit, and you steadily upgraded all day. Was there a point where you were worried about that you were like burning through your fish too quickly for it to last for 3 days, or did you think that this is just a good enough area? It's just going to continue to reload.
Day two, I kind of was contemplating in my head that, oh man, maybe I burned through them all, but
yeah,
I just threw all my eggs in the basket and just ran the same plan again the next day, and it just worked out just fine. And sure enough, they were reloaded again.
Heck yeah. We'll ease right into the day two then. Again, you stay on top in day two. Tyler was creeping up on you on day two, though. Are you the kind of person that like keeps an eye on the leaderboard, or were you just stay off of it until, you know, submission time? Or
I did keep my eye on it. I saw that Tyler was creeping up, and also my other buddy Benjamin, he was creeping up too. But I was just hoping, oh man, hopefully, like, you know, nobody hooks into a big one. So that's, like I said, that's when I went to my frogging spot and I hooked onto that 19 and the 18 just to be safe. Because throughout the morning already, I had like a few 17s, if I could remember.
Day one, you had three in the 17 and the 18 and the 19.
Yeah.
So I know. And then day two, you had a bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's I think it's really cool that you had like a little frog spot that you knew you could count on for the bigger fish. Because like normally, like if I'm frogging. That's like all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool that you had something working. You were watching the leaderboard and like, oh, they're creeping up. Time to go catch a couple doinkers to stretch out on them a little bit. That's a cool method. And you had, just for everybody listening, so for day one, you had 89 inches by the end of the day. Ryan Bonikowski had 85 and three quarter, and Benjamin had 85. So you had a little bit of a gap on these guys, but, you know, one bite up there can change that because both of them, they had a 15-inch class small fish. So, you know, one good bite like you had, an 18 or 19, is a pretty significant call to get them right there up in your wheelhouse. So go on into day two. Did anything crazy happen? You didn't get your two biggins on day two, but did anything epic happen on day two or anything worth mentioning?
Not really.
Any struggles?
Day three was a struggle. But day two, I just pretty much ran my same thing again. This time I saw some like 17 inch and 18 inch bass. But they were in that gin clear water. By the time I saw them, they saw me, and they were already swimming away. So yeah. I would say, like, it was pretty hard to get them to bite. I saw a bunch of, like, bass, just couldn't get them to bite. But by then, I already had a few of those 17s, you know, on the leaderboard. So I had a feeling as long as I was, like, 85 or better, I was okay.
Yeah, for sure. And with your 17s, you know, you said you stuck to your game plan. Did you catch a lot of the 17s in the morning on topwater, or was it?
It was kind of like half and half. I think I got like two in the morning. And then, like I said, I just moved away from that area. I just went and fished some more eelgrass. And then I slowly upgraded more and more. Because I kept catching like the ones, like those 15s and 16s. So those didn't help me at all. So I just threw them back as soon as I got them.
Right.
If they had a little bit bigger mouth, like those large mouth, and I measured them real quick, and then that's when I kept them.
Did your frogging spot hold? I mean, did you go check it and you didn't get any big bites, or was it just you were getting good bites on the frog spot, just nothing that would help? Or
I went and checked it out. I got like probably three or four, but they didn't help at all. So I just left it, and I went completely towards some like newer water, you could say. And that's when I slowly upgraded like one or two more fish just to stay in that safe zone, like I say.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'm seeing if there's... So day two is the day that Tyler and Benjamin really made a move up as far as they were, you know, closing the distance on you for that day, which definitely was going to help close the margin and over the total. When you got done with day two and they had because they had an award ceremony after day two, right? Where they,
yeah. They had one for the vignette.
Yeah. Did you have, any like doubts about day three going into it, or, you know, like, oh crap, here they come? Or did you have anything you were like leaning on, like, okay, the weather's doing this tomorrow? Did you have any confidence, or were you just kind of like, oh crap?
I had confidence. I had confidence because I knew that wind was coming. I had a feeling it would shift a lot of the duckweeds into where I wanted the duckweed to be pushed up to.
Yeah.
I had a feeling that not a lot of guys would go to like the stuff I would go, because it's nothing but just like roller waves that they had to go through anyways. But yeah, day three, I think it was just only like, I only saw two other kayakers at the same landing. So I was pretty confident, and at least like the other half of the field was cut, you know, they were just fishing.
Right.
So I knew I just had to just stay up, you know, stay up there somehow.
So did you go in it with like a conservative mindset? Like, I need 85 to seal this, or were you like, all right, you know, go time, let's just blow it out?
I was aiming for like 86 day three. Just, I knew if I was sitting 83, if I had all consistent like 17 inch fish, I would be okay. It just means that whoever below me had to catch like, you know, 4 18s or 3 18s or whatever, you know, like biggins to be able to catch up. Yeah.
That's a very like thinking man's way of like figuring out a strategy. You know, most people, you know, they're thinking like, oh, I just need one big kicker, or oh, I need to blow it out today. Yeah. You went into it very like mathematical, making it a like, okay, if I can bag up 17s, that means this guy's got to have like a record day out here and, you know, catch 90 inches to even challenge me. So that's actually a really cool way to look at it. That definitely can say I've never thought of as like what I have to do to make it harder for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
That's so just because we haven't hit on it, and you were talking about hitting all those rollers and stuff, like what kind of boat are you in? What's your kayak?
I have a Wilderness Recon 120 HD.
Nice. I don't have too many Wilderness folks get on here anymore. Russ is like the only Wilderness guy that ever hangs out with us.
Yeah.
I know a couple, man, and everybody that's in them seems to really, really love them.
I like them. It's my first kayak ever. I did demo a new canoe, that Frontier 12. I liked it, but the platform wasn't my style. It was really opened, and it just looks like a canoe in a way. So I seen you guys wear the logos.
Yeah, we both own the team, and we both run the Unlimited now. And that's this is a good example. I love it for the open concept, and most people that don't like them, it's because of the open concept.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a great example of what fits me doesn't fit you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're great, and I like the Wilderness. I haven't got in any of the newer models, like the radars and the attacks and stuff like that, but. Mm-hmm. It was like 2 years ago. I had my new canoe Flint out on a river, and a guy was with us in an original Ride 115, and he wanted to try the Flint. And I was so blown away by how good that old Ride 115 paddled. It was great. And that was like pre Air Pro seat. So that was the old like strap back seat and everything. And it was still great. I was like, this thing's sick. I'd love to see more people get back in the Wilderness. We're trying to get them at our shop right now, man. They're good boats. Everybody I know that has them loves it.
I love mine. It paddles like a barge, but you know, if you got the pedal drive or if you put a motor on it, you'll be fine.
And do you have the pedals or a motor on yours?
I used to have the pedal, but I went a different route. I got a Newport.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Nice.
All of us are on that Newport game, man. That motor's sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sick. It's got me this far, you know. I've taken it a long ways. It's not let me down yet, so can't complain.
What kind of speed you get out of that boat on there?
On a good day, if it's like super calm, like 4.8, 4.9.
Same.
Because my kayak, it's like, I believe it's like 38 inches wide.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty wide, but I still get good speed.
Yeah, that's I'm a speed demon, and like, I can get 5 out of mine and I complain about it, but the Unlimited's 41 inches wide. And it's not designed to plane. Oh, wow. So I should probably shut up. So
yeah. Right. Right.
Well, that's cool, man. It's nice to hear somebody that's not in a Hobie or, I mean, I'd want you to say you're in a new canoe, but it's nice to hear a brand that we don't hear all the time.
Yeah.
Taking the dub. Yeah. So, well, you said day three was the challenge day, so let's get into day three. And day three, for anybody listening, day three is the only day my man didn't lead at the very end. Brian Cohn came up with 88.5 and had a couple good kicker fish for up there. But, Laura, you were right there in second with 87.75. So, obviously, we got you on the show, so you accomplished your goal. But tell us how that day went down, man.
Well, like I said, I started with my same game plan. I hit up some rocks that kind of swung across. I lost my whopper plopper to a decent fish. And the reason why I knew it was because as soon as that fish bit, I don't know if it was my knot that I tied or what, but it just, you know, it just took my lure, and like a second later, it jumped out. And another 5 seconds later, it like jumped out, and I saw it. It was a smallmouth. It was at least a 17, 18 incher.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
I kind of felt pretty bummed about it. Cause that was my only whopper plopper I brought with me. I didn't have time to go stop at, you know, at the bait shop. So, and I forgot about it. So next thing I knew, I was just like, okay, just go on to my next confident bait, you know, the chug bug, the original chug bug. So that's what I tied on. And I worked that for a little bit in the open. And then right away, like from gas, I got like a 17 inch largy. So that helped me a lot. Like I got my confidence back, and then I got another like smaller fish. So okay, I was like, okay, it's gonna be a good day. You know, just keep grinding it. So I stayed in that area for like 2 hours. Did my same thing again after that, and then I just went and worked the eelgrass, and then I upgraded just from the eelgrass.
Heck yeah. So talk about your setup a little bit for your whopper plopper setup, like rod, reel, line. Like I see your St. Croix hat. Are you a diehard St. Croix guy or?
I have like one or two St. Croix. I got like I run goblins, I have Vexen rods, so it's a little bit of everything. Nice. My top water setup wasn't really nothing special. I got a fishing pole from my brother as a gift, and I used that, and it was just paired up with I think a President Supreme XT. It had like I put like 20 pound braided on it, and that's really about it. Nothing special, nothing name brand. I believe it was like a loose, like speed stick, like an open reel. That's I just wanted that distance because I knew I didn't want anything else. Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's you got to try that. You said Dobbins, right? Did you use some Dobbins? Man, I love. I use all Dobbins. You should, if you get a chance, you should get on some of that topwater stuff with some of their like Sierra Series champions.
Now that I got some money, now I could go buy some Dobbins, I guess.
That's right.
But my setup for like my Texas rig was it was a Dobbins Sierra that 735C. I had like 30 pound power pro on that, and I was just flipping. I can't tell you the weight, the hooks, and the lure, but
no, keep it close, man.
Rigging that.
So wait, you said the Dobbins 735, the big, mag heavy rod.
Yeah, the mag heavy rod.
You Texas rigging on that?
Yep.
Daggum, I gotta try that. That's my frog rod.
When you look at that Sierra, rod. It says frog pitching and flipping. So
true, true.
I was like, I'm not the type of guy where I like buy a rod just for that reason. Like, I use that for Carolina and Texas rigging. So, I like your equipment. Mine's just like typical stuff. It's not like really name brand, but it works for me. It catches me fish. I can't complain.
No, I mean this is opening my eyes to it. I mean, I've punched with it just because of that mag heavy, but I've never thought about like. A little bit different Texas rig setups and eelgrass and stuff. I might have to give it a swing because it works for just about everything else you throw at it. And it's always been my workhorse rod for frogging. So I've never really thought about much of other than doing that with that rod.
I only needed that mag heavy because a lot of the fish, they swam right into the eelgrass and,
more
30-pound power pro. So you needed to wrench those fish out of the weeds. And if you didn't, if one little pressure gets to them, they just get off and they're done.
That's awesome.
We needed that mag heavy there for that reason.
So you said that you had some video footage. Do you got like a YouTube channel or anything you want to plug, or is it all just video for you?
I don't got a YouTube channel. I just ran a GoPro. I should have ran it when I was fishing the tournament, but I didn't want to deal with
one more thing to worry about,
Yeah, I just wanted to go out there and do what I love and just do what I do.
That's awesome.
No, I feel you. All the best tournament days I've had is the days that I've decided to leave the freaking camera in the truck, and I think there's something that goes with that.
Yeah, normally it's on my head, but I think after a while, if it's like on my head, I get a headache because it's kind of like tight.
Yeah.
I don't want to drop it, so Hero 9, so I don't.
Yeah. That's the one I run. I've got mine sitting back on a camera boom, and
I
turned all the beeps off just because I can't stand listening to them. But that's also hurt me because I don't know how many times that it's just cut off and I'm not knowing it.
Right.
So I'm back here catching a fish, turning and smiling to the camera, get home, and it shut off 6 minutes into the freaking day. Like, you piece of junk.
I mean, I also made the decision not to bring it because I didn't want people really to see what I was fishing.
I get it.
Yeah, smart. Smart.
I've always have that in my head. Like, I want to do better with social media and video and this, but I don't want people to know where I'm at. Like, and I mean, I am good at looking at people's video and being able to like, oh, there's a church in the background. Mm-hmm. I can find that on Google Maps.
Sure.
So I know if I can do it, other people can do it. And I just don't want to show up to my spot one day and there'd be like some dude in town from Virginia or something like, hey. Maybe
the next tournament I go out of town, I'll bring it and use it.
There you go.
Unless you start doing good, then you may just want to cut it off and leave it in the, leave it in the Airbnb, man.
Delete.
Or just put it, you know, like what most happens with most of my videos, they don't get edited or posted. They just get uploaded and saved in my computer for me, you know, just to look back on.
Yep, exactly. Same here, too.
Well, was this, so is this your best finish or biggest?
Yeah, by far it's my best finish. Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Awesome. What kind of check did you get on this one?
I got 5,500 plus the 100 for the last hour of big bass.
Nice.
Yeah. So total of 5,600.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yep.
Not bad for 3 days of some work and getting to fish.
Yeah, it was actually me and my wife's 5-year anniversary on that Friday, and I told her that I'm gonna go fish and I'm gonna go win it. That's what happened. So she's pretty happy.
Oh, I bet she is, because if you had lost, ooh,
yeah,
you brought back a little change in your pocket that you can go. You gotta go take her somewhere nice, buy her something.
Yeah, this
tell her she looks pretty.
We're gonna go somewhere nice. So.
Heck yeah,
nice.
You got any other big plans for it? You gonna upgrade some gear or change up the boat?
I don't think I would change anything on the boat right now. I thought about getting an XI3 because another fellow kayaker out there had an XI3. I think it was XI3, and man, he looked like he was just having a good time just sitting in one spot there while I was here with my stake pole. And
sure.
Just, you know. I would prefer the stakeout pole.
Me too.
I feel like with the XI3, I would have to fiddle with the remote too often. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, you can get the Bluetooth or the wireless foot pedal, but yep. I don't know. Just one more thing.
Yeah, it's really nice, but it's not for me right now. I feel like.
Well, I mean, your setup won you some money. I think your setup's working.
Yeah,
just more weight. I know if I get it, I want to run both. I want to get the XI3 in the front and then run the motor, but it's going to be a lot of weight, and it's just that much more time to set up. Because I think day one, when I got there, I had only like maybe like 15 minutes to set up, and then, you know, takeoff was at 5. So I just kind of hustle and bustle and put everything together and just got in the water as fast as I could with a few minutes to spare, and then we just took off.
See, when I do that, that's when I get out there, I hook a, you know, a 23 and realize I left my net, mm-hmm. you know, or forgot the screen to my graph. I've done that. Forgot my batteries for my motor. I've done that. Hurt me and rushing just never works out. Brian can count for that too. I remember us getting to the boat ramp at Del Hollow last year, and you left your freaking batteries in the,
the house. Yeah. Had to turn around and go back get those.
Yeah. Congrats, man. You know, the killer day, especially to do across 3 days, you know, managing fish in a tournament, you know, is always a problem. You had a bunch of local hammers up there to compete against, and, you know, it's a river system and it's always changing, you know, current changes, like said, wind's a big effector. You know, so congrats on kicking ass up there and taking that win. You plan on taking this momentum into anything else? You plan on hitting any of the national trails, doing any traveling, or what you got up next?
I really got nothing planned as of right now, because with the way my work schedule works, it's kind of, it doesn't work with like fishing. So it'll have to be like on a weekend where I don't work, and that's the only time I can fish it. So I thought about maybe going into next year following like the whole trail, but like, again, I just started a new job, so it just all depends.
Right. Yeah. The working man, we understand. I'm lucky enough to own my own business, so the last couple of years, for the most part, I've got to make my own schedule. But, you know, the economy kicked me right in the nuts by gas prices going through the roof, and hotels have gone through the roof, so now it's not worth traveling for other reasons until anybody watching the show that would like to sponsor me and Brian Chiller and pay us so that we can do all these great things, hit us up.
I would travel more and just go out there and fish, because I think after like going to South Carolina and just fishing down there, man, I love that Highland Reservoir. It's a place I would definitely go back. You know, I would go fish Lake Harwell right up above it too as well.
But oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's different, and, you know, I love it down there too.
So, oh, man. I'm telling you, I always
like Iowa, and I liked it. Yeah, that's fun.
I always, you know, any angler that, if you're like obsessed with bass fishing like we all are, especially if you're from the Midwest, up north, anything, if you ever get the chance, come down to the South, either fish a lake in Texas, come fish Gunnersville here in Alabama, or go fish in Florida, and just experience. It's nuts. Well, hopefully, man, you get to get some time, you know, work up your ranks at the place, get you some PTO, get you some vacation, and maybe we'll get to see you come down to the Hobies, or hopefully maybe Hobie and Bass come back up there. I'm sure Bass will come back up to La Crosse. They did it 2 years in a row. I think they just let it go for a year. I think they'll be back.
I would definitely compete if they were coming back in town. You know, wherever they are, it doesn't really matter. If it works with my schedule, I'll compete.
Heck yeah.
Well, all right, dude. Well, I appreciate you so much for coming on the show, giving us some time. Oh yeah, man. It's great to have a new face on here and get to share your story of, you know, kicking everybody's butt out there. And
definitely, 3 days is rough. It's rough on you.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, dude. That's a grind.
I haven't done a 3 day. I haven't done a 2 day yet. Have I? No, I haven't done a 2 day. So I'll leave all the grinding to you professionals. I'm a one hit wonder kind of guy. I'm hoping my stars align for 8 hours, and hopefully that's all I need. But with you being new to this, man, this is the part of the show where we like to let you thank, you know, anybody that makes it easier for you, that helps you get to where you're at, or anything like that. Any sponsors? You got anybody you want to shout out or thank? Especially the wife for letting you miss the anniversary.
Yeah, if she's watching, I guess. I do want to thank my wife, first of all, because she's the one that – she's my number one supporter. She supports me in fishing. She's the one that lets me go out. I mean, I do go out when I, you know, can, and when I want to, I just go. So I want to say thank you to her. I want to a big thanks to All American and all the competitors that came up to La Crosse and competed as well. I want to thank Jeremiah Birch for hosting the All American up here in La Crosse there. And, yeah, I want to say thanks to Patterson Lee, because he was the one that built my confidence that I could compete, you know, instead of like shore fishing, just go and compete. You could make your own decisions. You could do your own thing out there and win some money. And that's what happened.
He's going to listen to this and be looking for his cut, man. You said those nice words. Now he's like, well, where's my 20?
Where's my 10%?
I gave that to him Saturday. I had a feeling if I had done the Minyak, I probably would have taken it, but I gave that to him.
Ah, yeah, you can have it since I didn't show up. But. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, man, we appreciate you coming on again, and hopefully we get to have you back on. You have some more success no matter where that is, man. But let you get out of here and get rested up, and we'll holler at you next time.
Sounds good. Take it easy, guys. Thank you.
See you, man. Take it easy.
Awesome. Another great show. Great win. Still my favorite place. I really do want to go back to La Crosse.
La Crosse is so beautiful, man. And it's cool to see a new face that you don't always see in that top 10. You know, obviously he's had success anytime a big event come to La Crosse. And La Crosse is a tough fishery, man, even for some of the locals. You know, it's not the easiest thing. Like you mentioned in the show, dude, it's a river system, and it's changing every day. Every day it's different. So, you know, you could be on them one day and the next day it's like nothing's there. So, it's super cool to see him walk away with a W and obviously doing something special up there.
Oh yeah. And I think, you know, he gets some time, you know, with his work and get some PTO up with all the success he's had, already making it to the Classic 1 year. Heck, you know, doing good in a Hobie, doing good in a Bassmaster event. I think once he gets a little bit of a stretch with his job, I think we'll see his name up there more often, especially if the big trail series can get to going back up that direction, you know, including the Midwest, which they did not do much.
Around. Nobody, but, only Hobie's doing that event in Wisconsin, and I think last I
Fox
heard it,
River or whatever.
That's not sold out, right?
I think it's less than 100. I think it was. Wow.
I knew that was
60s or something. I know, maybe I'm wrong. Shit, I don't remember. But it's not sold out. I know that.
Yeah, I'll pull it up. But I knew going into that, you know, everybody was like, you know, all the Hobies are selling out, and I knew that would be the one that would struggle because it's not a popular fishery and it's not the best fishery. But
right. I was trying to think of when it was that they released it, but I remember that there was the biggest question a lot of people had were like, well, where is this or what is that? You know, not the same reaction you get to like going to Texas or going to Florida or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. I just pulled it up. Yeah. There's only 58 people.
Yep.
So,
and it's not till August, but you know, every other event is, you know, usually sold out in the first 5 minutes. So
no, I know a lot of that you take not a popular area and the rise in prices for everything right now. I mean,
oh yeah,
because the last few Hobie events, they were sold out and then people backing out and then, you know, get below that 200, but it's not, I don't think there's anything to blame except the inflation of, you know, being an American right now, which is freaking stupid.
Yeah.
We're not going to get on the politics.
It'll be one, it'll be one that guys that are looking for those extra AOI points for the year, you know, that's going to be an opportunity there because you're not going to have to battle through 200 people, you know?
Definitely. I was just about to say, I think it could be an opportunity event for most of the people. And even that for people that, like, if you've been dabbling with going to a Hobie, but maybe you're one of those people that, you know, the amount of hammers that the Hobies bring and competition just kind of swings you away from it. Maybe this should be the event you go give Hobie a try on and, you know, see how well they run things.
Wait a minute. I got to share this real quick because I'm looking at it, right? And I thought you were talking to me at first, like, if you're thinking of going into a Hobie. And I've been very vocal about this. Like, I think Hobie runs an amazing series. Everybody loves it. And I've been asked before, like, are you going to fish a Hobie? And I've always said, no, I'm a fat, lazy guy, and I don't like to pedal or paddle, right? But then I'm looking here, right in this header, Torquedo is a sponsor. How can you have a motor company sponsor you and you don't allow motors? How does that work? I don't understand it. Sorry. That's just
no, that's a really good point. I've never noticed that. Huh.
Yeah, I just noticed that as you were saying that, you know. But I mean, again, like, I got nothing wrong with Hobie. Again, AJ, the team at Hobie, they run a fantastic event. Obviously, they're kicking ass. Like, look at all the success that they've had this year, which is super cool to see, man. But I mean, me personally, I've always said it, like, I won't fish one because they don't allow motors, and that's part of the way I fish, you know.
Right. But
and then I noticed that, and I was like, "How does that work?" Sorry.
Here's you. here's you some Torquedo bucks that you can't use in our tournament.
Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
So yeah.
All right.
Just noticed it. Sorry.
Well, this is part of the show. We get into all the tournaments that happened in the rest of the country with 25 participants or more. We've got a couple pages worth today, so everybody strap in. We will start with the tournament that we covered this week, the All-American Kayaks Series Midwest Open Event, three-day tournament with 68 anglers. Lore, who we had on, won with 263 and a quarter. Tyler Cole right behind him in second place with, I say right behind him, he was not right behind him. He 256 and three quarter. Third, the local Jeremiah Burrish with 256 coming in right there on Tyler's tail. Next up, we had the Kayak Anglers of Eastern Pennsylvania event on the Mochunk Reservoir. We're going to go with that. 39 anglers. Five fish tournament. Keep that in mind here. First place was James Puthering with 73 and a half. Struggle out there. Second place was Kevin Daughtry, also a 73 and a half. Must have lost a little big fish tie out there. and third place Matt Kolak with 71 1/4. So that was a tough five fish tournament. Moving up next, we have the Bass Nation Kayak Series Pennsylvania event, the Susky Smallmouth Throwdown. 33 anglers, five fish limit. First place, Josh Sims with 92 1/4. Second place, William Durbaraw with 92 1/4 as well. Another tie for first, two in a row. And third place, Nate Hall with 91 1/4.
And Hobie's coming the Susky end of this month, end of July.
Yeah, and we, you know, our last show we had was a Susky event last week, and those guys couldn't give up too much information because they're right. All fishing the Hobie, and they were fishing sure. The event. I think they fished that event that I just mentioned, but we'll have the Hobie winners on, and we're going to have those guys back to kind of help us break down, you know, how it goes. Especially, I think those guys will be big players in that event if everything sets up kind of how it has been and stays low.
And that one sold out with 200 people.
Yeah, the Susky's probably arguably one of the favorites, just because it's probably the most different event. You know, they let you wade in that one. It's all open, moving water, you know, shoals. It's just different from pretty much every other Hobie event, so it's usually the favorite. And there's a lot of people that I know that are going to that one that you don't see throw their hat in on any of the other ones. So I think that one actually could have some surprise winners or some prizes in the top 10.
Okay.
I think our man Sean's going to do okay.
Is Sean signed up for the Hobie?
I know he was. I'm almost positive he was.
I got to look. Go ahead. Continue. Sorry.
Oh yeah. Find out if he is. I swore he told me he was on he may have been on the waiting list. But so moving on, we had the Queen City Kayak Bass Fishing Trail on the Catawba Clash. Had 9 eligible lakes. They had 96 anglers doing their four fish limit thing, killing it as always. First place, Jim Janicek with 74 1/4. Second place, Mike Constable with 73 3/4. Third place, Tang Vu with 70 1/2. And if you'd like to take a comparison, that five fish tournament I was talking about earlier, the winners at 73 1/2, and they did that in a four fish tournament here, so that just lets you know how bad the fishing was at that other one.
He is not signed up, so he must
not
be on
signed
the waiting
up.
List. He okay. must be on the waiting list.
Oh well, that sucks because I think Sean would kick ass out there.
I agree.
He's been kicking butt crushing on the Susky lately, so
crushing him.
Moving on, we had the Kayak Anglers of Northeast Ohio on Mosquito Reservoir. 35 anglers. First place, Bob Hammond with 83 3/4. Second place, Eric Ortepan with 83, and third place, Eric Lander with 81 1/2. Next up, the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing on Cowan Lake, 54 anglers. First place, Sean Skidmore with 85. Second place, Doug Markham with 72 3/4. And third place, Nick Markham with 72.
That's my favorite lake in Ohio.
Cowan Creek?
Cowan Lake.
Cowan Lake?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a good jig bite.
I haven't fished in Ohio yet. Which it sounds like I might be getting to, because Brad Hicks can't fix his own freaking trailer, and I may have to drive up there, go fix it for him, and then go fishing. But moving on, the West Virginia Kayak Anglers South Branch Open, 33 anglers, five fish limit. First place, Hot Rod Johnson. It says that. 90 1/2 inches. Second place, Buddy Vance with 77 1/2. Jesus, that is a gap between first and second place. Third place, Michael Renewer with 77 1/2 as well. Yeah, my wife, everybody knows I've talked about it. My wife helps get all the Tourney X stuff for me, and she even texts me. She was like, I promise this guy's name's Hot Rod. She sent me his little profile. She was like, I'm not kidding.
trying to pull up a Ron Burgundy on you that you'll read anything on the teleprompter.
Yeah.
Trying to make you pull Biden. Sorry.
Oh, let's go, Brandon. Oh, man. So next up is the Minyak event that was going on in La Crosse at the same time. Same pool, 7, 8, 9, 28 anglers in this one. And Patterson Lee, who was mentioned multiple times by Laura on here, he took that win with 85. Second place was Benjamin with 84.5, and third place was Jeremiah Burris with 84.5. So Jeremiah's name's just always up there in those.
Oh yeah, any lacrosse event, he's in the top five for sure.
Yeah. All right, so moving on, we have the Kayak Anglers of Missouri on Pomme de Terre Lake. 29 anglers, 5 fish limit, first place. Robbie Brewer with 73.25. Another struggle for a 5. Second place, Troy Caldwell with 70.25. And third place, James Waller with 70 inches. Moving up, one that we don't get to mention often. I love hearing that they have bass fishing out there, of all things, for me, is the Oregon Kayak Bass Fishing Tour on Crane Prairie Reservoir. 31 anglers, 5 fish limit, first place, William Eshelman was 79.25. Second place, Braden Allison was 78.5. And third place, Colin Sutton was 78.5. There are so many ties. I mean, I see a couple more going down Lance Jesus. Next up is Kayak Fishing Utah Bass Tour at East Canyon. 35 anglers. First place, Joe Randall with, wow, okay, this is a 5 fish limit event too. Joe Randall with 65.75. Second place, Jason Conley with 62.75. Third place, Bryson Howard with 62.25.
That's three?
Five.
Three fish or five?
Five.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We get those numbers here with three. That's insane. Oh, man. You know, if any of you guys want to reach out and tell us what was going on there and that, I'd love to hear it. But moving on from that, the SoCal Kayak Anglers on the Lower Ote, 57 anglers. First place, Mark Christman with 87.75. Second place, Justin Maupin with 85.5. And third place, Rachel Uribe with 83.5. Next up's the Colorado Kayak Fishing Club on Trinidad Lake, 41 anglers, 5 fish limit. First place, Jeremy Pierce with 72.25. Second place, Leslie Alley with 68.25, and third place, Nick Mayhaus with 68. Bunch of struggling out there. And last but not least, the Kayak Bass Nation Kayak Special Event, second annual frog tournament on the California Delta. 32 anglers, 3 fish limit. First place was Damian Tao with 43 inches, the only angler to limit. Holy cow. And that's crazy for the Delta. You go off of Mr. Greg Blanchard's video, the Delta has been smacking them.
Yeah, right.
But second place, Alexander Ramirez with 29 inches, and third place, Michael McGeer with 28.5. Only 25 fish were caught in that event total.
Wow.
What is happening in California?
Yeah, no kidding, dude. That's crazy. That's nuts. Especially for the Delta. But it was a frog-only tournament.
It says it's the second annual frog event, so I would assume that it's a frog-only tournament.
Could have been a tough frog bite.
Must have been. Which, I mean, the Delta's a tidal reservoir, too, so.
Yeah, tide.
Totally different than most of us thinking about things.
Yeah.
Well, that's all the other tournaments we had. I appreciate everybody coming and hanging out. Brian, appreciate you hopping on with me and...
Yeah, no sweat, man. I know I didn't say much, but you were.
You still talked three times as much as Jay Randall, so I appreciate that. Gotta take my pokes and stabs when I can.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, man. You know, I was like jumping on and catching up with the tournament scene because I've kind of been out of it and I don't follow it as much as I used to. So it's always nice to hear how people are crushing them in events and taking home big checks.
Heck so. Yeah. Big checks. That's the goal.
Yeah. Buddy.
Well, you got anything to add on, my man? Or?
No, man. This Thursday night, OG show live. We're going to be talking about ICAST, getting some different perspectives, a little round table discussion about ICAST. So tune into that. And then like you said it in the show, man, we're, kind of doing a little video series for going down to ICAST. It'll include the show, some fishing, both freshwater, saltwater. So, some probably camaraderie,
throw up.
Some shenanigans. So, it'll be some good stuff.
A lot of shenanigans. We're either going to be a success or we're going to get canceled.
Yeah. So, I don't think we'll make it that far, but
we'll release it after ICAST. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, it'll be like throughout. So good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Awesome. Well, that was another episode of The Reel Down, everybody. We appreciate everybody coming and hanging out with us. Congrats to Laura again. You know, congrats to the other two guys that couldn't catch up with us this evening. Be sure to tune into us next week for another great show from some big tournament somewhere across the country. We will see you next time. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.